In this video, I'm going to break down some of the recent conversations I've had with some of the world's top wellness experts. We're talking how to protect ourselves from diabetes and improve the symptoms using the breath. We'll be talking about the importance of nasal biome and how you might be destroying that without even knowing. We'll be looking at very simple three ways that we can reduce inflammation. And we'll also be talking about the skill of happiness. Yes, I said a skill. Very, very interesting stuff. And also, we will be talking about how to find your tribe, how to find the best friends, or we say in England, your best mates. How are you going to find your best mates if you're a bit weird like me and you're really into wellness and breath work and all that jazz? And at the very end of this conversation, I've got a very big surprise for you. So you're going to want to stick all the way through, get some amazing free health value. Let's get stuck in. Hello, my friends. If you're new here, my name is Mike Mayer. I am a breathwork coach and I run Take a Deep Breath. And thank you so much for being here. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you in this solo conversation some of the lessons I've learned recently from all these podcast conversations I'm having with these wonderful human beings, and sharing some of the trips I've been on recently and how they've fundamentally changed my life. So let's get stuck in. So first one, let's talk about breath and diabetes. I had Dr. Nick Heath on the podcast. I'm going to link all these down below. And Nick is known as the breathing diabetic, type 1 diabetic. You can see his full story, but in short, Wim Hof breathing, did that for a while, didn't necessarily feel better. And then he jumped into slow nasal breathing and he noticed his blood sugar levels were changing. I mean, he's checking his blood. And so he's kind of provided a lot of health and a lot of benefit and a lot of support for a lot of people with diabetes. He's never going to cure his diabetes, but there was this really interesting thing. James Nestor plugged up his nose for 10 days. Anyone that's read the book Breath will know this. And he talked about increased time snoring. He increased about blood pressure going up, irritable, sleep quality in the toilet. But he also mentioned when I interviewed him 3 years ago now, his blood was becoming pre-diabetic, and that always stood with me. I didn't understand why. And so what Nick was explaining was mouth breathing, stress. If you're not new here, you probably already know that. Mouth can be quite a stressful breath, especially if you're doing it at night and at rest. And so when we're doing the mouth breath and we're stressing ourselves out, the body's producing cortisol, and one of the ways to kind of counteract that, the body will then also releases sugars. Then we have the insulin spike and we go on that journey, a bit like we're having a donut or some Snickers bar or something like that. And he actually references a nasal breathing study where people were asked to nasal breathe and they were just reporting on things such as they felt calmer, clearer. What was really interesting in this study, and again, it's in the podcast, is the nasal breathers reported that they felt the ability to concentrate more, and then they checked their brainwaves and they had better neuroconnectivity just by nasal breathing. So his whole thing is, let's slow the breath down, let's use the nose. I also quote a little bit of Patrick McKeown here. He said something along the lines, this is the guy that wrote The Oxygen Advantage. He said, if you can drink through the nose, that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, and you can breathe through the mouth. I love that. So this whole breathing diabetic thing, diabetes, is it a cure for diabetes? I don't think anybody's saying that. But actually, this is a bigger thing. This is all about how do we reduce stress now? You know, it's such a common word. How do we do that? And one of the best ways to do that is slow, light, gentle nasal breathing. So just another reason. You've probably already seen people taping up their mouths and all this jazz. It's getting very, very fancy now on social media. But another reason. If you've got diabetes, absolutely be working on the slow nasal breathing. And if you've not, it's just still a wonderful thing to do. And again, the podcast with Nick is down below. I really love talking to him, getting back on again. Okay, next one. This wasn't in the intro, but I think it's a good one to jump into. So I had my kid 11 months ago, almost to the day yesterday, and it's been quite stressful. And I've got a lot of friends that are breath coaches, hypnotherapists, all these different things. And what I noticed was a lot of people in the wellness industry are pretty stressed, and it's almost like a bit of a dirty secret. And I've been struggling with this all this year. It's like, I'm the breath coach. I'm meant to be the guy that's like chill, ultra, ultra chilled. And just got back from America, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But what I realised was, and I was able to summarise this recently, before breath work, so going back 7-8 years ago, I stress had me. And so my stress was probably always around a 9, 9.5, and 9.8 out of 10. Just got used to it. Just my baseline level was stress. Sweaty, anxious, irritable, no resilience. I could go off like a firework if somebody was to interrupt me or something. And a lot of it was internal as well. So I wasn't very shouty, but a lot of it would, you know, would go here and I'd take it all on board. And then the Wim Hof breathing in 2016 made me aware of the breath. And then when I found all these slow breathing techniques, the coherence, the Patrick McKeown light, slow and deep stuff, then the stress went from a 9, 9.5 down to about a 3. And it's probably stayed at a 3. Sometimes it jumps up to a 4, 3 or 4. But there's always been this background radiation of stress. And so it's only recently I've kind of come to this realization, like, that's okay. We all experience stress. And so hopefully there's somebody else listening to this. Maybe they're a wellness practitioner. Maybe it's just, maybe you're just going through life and thinking about being a wellness practitioner or not. But I think just this reminder, it's okay that we feel stress, but it's what we do in response to it. And so for me, it's things like taking time out in the day, having little breath breaks throughout the day. And to quote James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, you know, you start with 60 seconds. I'm going to do a whole thing on breathing habits. This is going to be a bit of a tangent podcast here, okay? But I've noticed that one of the biggest things that a lot of my clients are suffering with and a lot of other people is, it's not, first of all, you've got to learn the breathing techniques that are right for you. And this is what I help people with. But where the problems then lies in integrating those breathing techniques into a very busy life schedule, lifestyle. And we need to focus on, how do we build long-lasting habits? I feel like that's probably getting as almost as important as, like, what breathing techniques do you do? So I've got a couple of world-class habits researchers coming on the podcast soon, which I'm really excited about, but more about that later. But this whole thing around the embarrassment of stress, I think even just sharing this with you now, it's very freeing to go, oh, I do get stressed sometimes, and that's okay. But here's the interesting thing now, and this jumps into the next point, which is the science of happiness. So I've just come back from Wyoming, which is very close to Yellowstone in America, and I'm British lad, so I live in the middle of England, and I spent 10 days out there doing teacher training, so me learning a new modality called Vivation, which is the second oldest breathwork school in the world, registered breathwork Western School, 1978, The Science of Happiness. And Paul Hughes, who runs the organization now, he says this: Vivation is a physically pleasurable skill that you can learn to quickly and permanently resolve any kind of negative emotion, stress, pain, and trauma. So some big claims there. And I went out there, and I practiced some Vivation before, and there's stuff on my channel, and you can go on the website and you can practice things. I went out there, and I'll just break down some of the things that happened on there. But before we do, let me just say this. I've taken those Vivation skills, and I've been back home now 2 weeks. Like I said, I got 11-month-old. Baseline stress level 3. That's come down now. It's like a 1.6, let's say, 1.7. I'm still getting a flare-up of stress if something happens. I will then follow the Vivation process. And this process takes about... You can learn a lot of it in about an hour with me, but to go through the full process takes about 3 days, 2 to 3 days, or you can do it over 7 weeks, sort of 2 hours a week with me. I'll put links to that if you're interested. But I'll go through this process. So let me give you an example. It's 3 a.m. My son's woke up. I've got a big day. I need to be asleep. I've got a bit of a bad back still I'm working on. Nina's already done her stuff. And so it's my turn to, you know, get him back to sleep. So after, you know, I'm rocking him and I'm calming him down. And if you put him in the crib too soon, he wakes back up again. The whole process can start again in another 30 minutes. I've been perfecting the process. Anyway, it's a whole other thing. But that can be quite stressful because I want to calm down and relax. I'm tired and all these different things. But then following the Vivation process, one of the examples, that's going to focus on that, is enjoy this moment as much as possible. Now that'll mean something to you on one level. But once you go through the training, either as a teacher or to learn the skill, it means something else, and it's combined with all these other different ways of guidance. So it's Vivation to me, if I had to summarize it, it's almost like a life manual. I've done Tony Robbins, and he's got his own version of a life manual. But this one's all about what's known as like embodiment. And so we spend so much time up here in the busy mind, and we process and analyze everything. But the body has a lot of feelings. You know, when we feel sadness, sometimes it's here or it's behind the eyes. For me, tension and stress comes down here in the belly. Sometimes we've got aches and pains, and we notice them for a few seconds, and we go back into the busy mind. And this is the embodiment. I'm getting excited now. It's bringing you back into the body. And if we don't do that, we miss out on a huge part of the human experience. Because if we're mind-driven people and we're not using the body, and what they use in Vivation is the words body wisdom, we miss out on a huge, huge thing. So I, through these 10 days, was doing the circular breathing, learning the process, learning the history of it, learning all the subtle bits that are going on. So the first 3 days of the training is you go through the process, like, let's say you contacted me and we did that. And then the next sort of 7 days is then learning to become a teacher in the process. And so I did many, many sessions, and I had what would be known as integrations in those sessions. Had a lot going on, a lot came up, I processed a lot. I was really excited, but also sad to leave the training. But I knew that I'd got something really special. And so a big shout out to Mr. Tom Granger, who is my partner in crime when it comes to some of the Airheads work you might have seen. Wonderful breath coach. He runs Aria Breath, and he created Draw Breath. And he connected me to Paul Hughes, who runs Vivation. And it literally was life-changing. It was a life-changing experience. But the key is, right now, I'm using that process throughout the day. All the time, I'm taking in. And so you bring in a big breath and you fill right up, maybe like a bow and arrow breath, you might have heard that. And on the exhale, you just let go. And it's an opportunity each time to relax. And there's so many intricacies to it. It's so beautiful. Here's the really important part. When you learn Vivation, not as a teacher, just learn the Vivation process from a teacher, one of the main principles or values is autonomy. And what they mean by that is we want you to learn the skill, have somebody guide you through it, and then you don't need anybody again. So it's not one of these things that's ongoing. You can have ongoing support if you like. I really like somebody guiding me, and there's some recordings and things, but I really like to be in live set, you know, and being guided. But it's completely autonomous. So if this has intrigued you at all, the link's down below to a couple of the podcasts I've done with Paul from Vivation. I am looking to take on some Vivation clients. I'm offering crazy discounts on them at the minute because it's new to me. So I just want to get a few under my belt. I've already started working with a few people already. So I'm going to take on a couple more, just a handful of people. If you think, oh, Vivation might be interesting to me, you can click on the link below and we can have a chat on Zoom and see if it's right for you. And like I say, I'm doing like 50% off at the minute just because I want to really perfect the art of working with people on this. I've worked with so many people when it comes to the functional stuff, and that's a whole other conversation, because I really have this whole thing around the breath as a Swiss Army knife, all these different tools on the Swiss Army knife. Some people call it a breath spectrum and different things, but for me it's like a little toolkit. And so certain breathing techniques do certain things, and Vivation, it would be a little bit of a shame to just call it breath work, because it's so much more. It's like guided meditation, embodiment, introspectiveness. There's so much going on. It's incredible. And what's weird, I've never had this happen before. The podcast I did in America, which we just did off the cuff, I had my MacBook set up and I used my phone as the audio. So many people reached out to me after going, dude, you look so chilled. I want what you've got. I've never seen you look that happy before or that relaxed. So that was really interesting. So yeah. It's a new part of my life. It's helping me, and just tying it all the way back to this guilt around being a stressed wellness professional. If this resonates with you in any profession that you're in, just know that it's okay to feel that stress. It's okay to feel that anxiety. It should never be a zero, I don't believe, but we should be able to manage it. We should have resilience to stress. We should have resilience to anxiety. We should be able to have a toolkit that deals with it. And so this year has been a wonderful reminder to have this stressor. Beautiful thing, don't get me wrong, life changer being a dad, but this beautiful thing, but like a lot of stress that comes with the financial worries, all different things, and then now having even more tools to deal with it. So really beautiful, Vivation. Can't speak enough about it. I'm going to do some more videos about it soon. Very, very exciting. Which moves me on to how to find, as we say in England, your best mates. So throughout school, had a couple of friends here and there, had a couple of best friends, quite introverted, lean a bit on the introverted scale. So never had like big groups of friends or anything like that. I was always very sociable at work, like work colleagues, and I can schmooze with the best of them. Hey, how you doing? How's your morning? How's your weekend? All that cookie cutter bullshit when it comes to like connecting with people. But never really had the deep, deep connections. And it all started for me, Wim Hof. So I'm going to give you the roadmap here to finding awesome mates. Are you ready? And you can probably do it for free, but I'll give you the version I've done it, and then we'll see if we can peel it back. And so for those that have got financial limitations, I'm sure there's free ways to do this. But this is the way to find your tribe, your best mates. Go to events. And I'll give you my ones. So Wim Hof, 2016, went to Poland. 60 people there. All a bit weird, let's be honest. We've all paid a couple of thousand euros to be in a place with Wim to learn to jump into ice water and climb mountains in your underwear. Pretty strange. Guess what? There is a natural filtering process that happens, a bit like when you climb a mountain. You don't generally, I've not seen it. You don't get a lot of douchebags when you get to the top of a mountain. But in the high street, there's a lot of all sorts of people there. So there's a filtering process. Same thing with these events. And so Wim Hof made my best friend in the entire world. Scott, hypnotherapist, shout out Scott. You should check out his work. He's been on my podcast before. Best hypnotherapist I know, possibly the best hypnotherapist in the world. He's got wonderful techniques. The stories he tells me about transformations with the clients are incredible, but that's another conversation. Again, you can check out the podcast with Scott. Best friend, met that on Wim Hof at the age of 34, 35 that I was. Thinking I'll probably never make many friends now. And then, you know, a few other people in that group. Got a few WhatsApp groups, got a couple of Facebook groups, often connect with a few different people. That was 6-7 years ago. But best mate, see him all the time. After that, did a Camino, walked across Spain, 500 miles. Met an incredible group of people. You do the Camino by yourself, or you tend to. So you're walking around and you're like, you don't really know anybody. And so you have to be on. And this is another lesson, really, when it comes to finding your tribe. You have to really get out of your bubble. So if you're in a pair and you go traveling, that's very different if you go by yourself. So going by myself, you have to make an effort, or you're not going to speak to anybody for days and you lose the sound of your voice. So why are you walking the Camino? You have all these beautiful conversations. So beautiful connections on the Camino. More recently, Vivation. 10, 12 of us in there. What a group. Shout out to the Vivation gang if they get a chance to watch some of this. Wow. I've been in all these different breath groups, beautiful humans. And you know, here's what's going on in Vivation. We're in the hot water together. We're maybe doing some cold water. We're breathing in the room. We're crying. We are sharing. There's a bond of trust with what we share in that room. So very quickly, it's like an incubator for friendship and family, really. So you're in this room, you make connections. We're on Zoom now every week. Wonderful. It's wonderful having that tribe. I'm in a breath app on the source, you know. So many of you have joined that app. We have a meeting every other week. We connect and share. What else? There's a few others. Oxygen Advantage. I went to Ireland last year and spent a week with like 25 Oxygen Advantage instructors. Beautiful. So that's how I've connected and made all these new friendship groups, and it's so wonderful. Now, how could you do that if you don't have the funds to go off flying all around the planet and doing this stuff? Well, there's another way. You know, you've got meetup.com, you've got Facebook groups, you've got local things. It's those some very cheap festivals normally in your country. It's going there as an individual, ideally into small groups. So if somebody in your local area is doing breath work, Go to it. Even if it's awkward, just go to it. If you can go to a 2-day thing or something where there's an overnight thing as well, it's really, really powerful. The other one I didn't mention, James Nestor, went to Costa Rica, met some beautiful people there as well. So how to find your tribe, get out there, get out of your comfort zone and go to something where all those other people are into that same subject, and suddenly you've got so much. It's so different to just walking down the high street and tapping people on the shoulder. Not that I've done that, but still. So that's the tribe stuff. What else are we talking about today? Kinross. So I interviewed Dr. James Kinross, and we'll talk a bit about microbiome. So I got really obsessed with microbiome, and I'm so lucky to get all these different guests on. I heard this guy on the local, not local radio, national radio in England. I was like, I'd love to talk to this guy. And his book's called Dark Matter, The New Science of the Microbiome. And cool dude. We had a really good chat after we stopped recording as well. Really, really helpful. Really nice man. And he talks about, you know, biome, and you know, might have heard of like fecal transplants and literally squirting poopy up the bum from a healthy person to an unhealthy person. Or now they're taking capsules. There's a whole load of stuff going on here. And they're really, it's cutting edge stuff. They're really starting to understand a lot more what's going on. It's so diverse. But the things that stood out for me was he said you've got a lung biome. So a biome, just as a definer, it's like a garden of good and bad bacteria, and you want a nice balance, and you want it diverse. And so we, again, when it comes to your gut, you want to have nice diverse food sources, bits of everything, and really fill it up. And if you eat loads of pizza, for example, your biome changes and it starts to crave the pizza and all that. It's not my forte necessarily, but it's very, very interesting. Babies' biomes, breastfeeding, there's so much. Kefir, all these different things you can take, sauerkraut. But nasal biome, he said, and this is really important, he said that they believe that one of the determinants on whether or not you're going to get COVID or get sick from COVID was how good your nasal biome should be right now. And so here's a way to protect your biome. Be really careful what you spray up your nose. I would also be really careful how many nasal hairs you pull out. I just take a few out, the ones that kind of stick out here, so I don't look like I've got a spider coming out my nose. But I would be really careful what you shove up your nose. I'm not even talking drugs and all that sort of stuff. You know, that's a whole other subject. But all these inhalers and steroid things and all these things that help you breathe. So you're thinking, well, hang on, I've got a stuffy nose, Mike. What am I meant to do? Well, here's a couple of natural things for you. I did this during COVID. Number one, nasal strips. I don't think enough people are talking about the power of a nasal strip. It goes over your nose. They're very inexpensive. It can give up to 30% more space. It's just like a valve on the nose that happens. Really, really good. The other thing, Patrick McEwan's made this very famous, is the nose unblocking exercise. What's that? It's about 5 or 6 strong breath holds. Normal breath in, normal breath out, hold the nose. Shake the head, even though I think he says it doesn't do anything, it's like a distraction, but shake the head. First one's horrible if you block, because it's like, I'm hungry for air and now I can't breathe. But then you breathe normally again, 20, 30 seconds. Small breath in, small breath out. Now what you'll notice, I'm not squeezing the nose because that makes it worse. I actually block up the nose, hold the breath, shake the head, hold your breath as long as you can. Maybe the nose is a bit more open, maybe it's not. So it can take 3 or 4 before you feel anything. So what am I doing here? This is crazy. Keep going. By about the 4th or 5th, you find that the nose just opens up. My theory on this is our carbon dioxide's increased. And when CO2 increases, we have what's called vasodilation. Everything kind of opens up. All the smooth muscle tissues expand and open. And I believe similar things happening in the nose. Plus, there's this miracle gas called nasal nitric oxide, which is a vasodilator. Again, opens everything up. And I think it's building up and it's helping the nose open up. But I don't think they really know exactly how it's doing it. But 5 or 6 strong breath holds, pop a nasal strip on, avoid the other stuff, protect your biomes as much as possible. Same with lungs. We didn't necessarily talk about vaping. I think we spoke about smoking, but putting vegetable oils into your lungs cannot be doing good things for the biome. And you want your lung biome to be really good. You want your nasal biome to be, you know, really good as well. The other thing as well around nasal biomes, be careful what candles you get. I interviewed Doran O'Lean, who has a podcast called Fatal Conveniences. And he got his new book out, which I highly recommend. And he talks about candles and he talks about the poisons. And he said, we're doing this beautiful thing. We're lighting the candle in the house. And then the air pollution gets worse than like a busy city in China. Because the windows are closed and all this toxic smoke's going up. It looks beautiful and it smells beautiful. It's really unnatural. So beeswax candles, I believe, are best. Some people have said soy candles. Do your own research. And also, like those plugins, like Glade plugins, that just spray these nasty things. I hate it when I go to somebody's house or bathroom and they've got those plugins. I'll try and hold my breath and not breathing. That stuff is awful. So be really careful what you introduce into your air quality, because it's affecting your nose, which is affecting your breathing. If you're affecting your breathing, let's go right back to the start of this conversation with Dr. Heath, the breathing diabetic. End up being more of a mouth breather, you end up breathing too fast, too shallow. And I can go off on tangents with this all the time. Dr. Gerberg of Dr. Gerberg and Brown, who do breath, body and mind, she says, you know, the brain's always listening to the lungs. I love this. And I think she says, if you're eating a sandwich and you bang your toe and you start choking on that sandwich, and I might be misquoted a little bit here, you're not paying attention to your sore toe. You're paying attention to the fact you can't breathe. And then, and this is me talking now, you know, your pulse is going to go up, your pupils can dilate, you're going to start to sweat. Everything's going to focus on the fact that you can't breathe. And it's going to try and get you to breathe. You're going to swallow. Your diaphragm's going to go crazy. You know, every focus of you is to keep your life. You're not thinking about credit cards and where you're going on holiday. You're in the moment focusing on that. And so we've got this lovely direct connection between the brain and the lungs, an immediate connection. And so if we breathe too fast, too shallow mouth, we're sending signals of stress. If we slow things down, nasal, soft, rhythmic, gentle, quiet, smooth, soft breathing, we send signals of safety, of calm, of relaxation. And so just a lovely reminder there, how we breathe affects how we think and feel. I'm going off on a breath tangent, but I think it's relevant. So nasal biome, protect your biome. Check out the podcast with Kim Ross. It's really, really good. Need to get him back on again as well. So that's Kim Ross. Inflammation. Let's talk a little bit about good old inflammation now. So I interviewed Clint Ober. He has a movie out called The Irfin Movie. And it's got about 4 or 5 million views now on YouTube. And it's free, completely free. A wonderful couple made that film. Changed my life. Wow. The importance. And so here's the elevator pitch. Up until about 60, 70 years ago, the human, like almost like every other animal on the planet, was grounded. And what he means by that is touching the planet. Planet is, I'm going to get us wrong now. The planet is a negative energy source. And when we're disconnected, we're positive, and we need to touch the planet to take static out of our body. So I'll break it down a little bit more. It sounds a bit woo-woo. But we evolved to touch this planet. And when we're touching the planet, we're earthed. A bit like earthing some electrical equipment. All other animals are touching the planet all the time. And then we disconnected in a couple of ways. One, we put rubber between us, which is a wonderful insulator. So rubber on our shoes. Another way was we put like plastic carpets down everywhere. Another way, a fantastic example, is your phone's plugged in and you're touching your phone. So all these things are A, disconnecting us, and B, charging us up. So there's many videos on YouTube where you can see people, they put a very inexpensive amp meter on their body, and you see the, I don't know, it's like 9 amps. And then, like, I've got one right here, you can't see it, but I've got an earthing mat that's plugged into the earth of the building. And the amps just go to zero. And in fact, one of my breath colleagues last year, he said to me, his daughter was wet in the bed. And so he decided to, and I don't think he told her, he put an earthing mat on her bed and she stopped. And when he measured her amps before he did the earthing mat, she had a lot of energy in her. So be careful touching your phone when it's plugged in. Same with laptops and all the rest of it. Really charge them up and then use them when they're not plugged in. And you can go really far with this. You can get special headphones that have a gap so you can still get the audio, but they're not actually connected. Because some of what Darren O'Lean was saying to me, the Fatal Conveniences guy, is like, you know, you're putting electricity directly into your brain. And there's lots of stuff out there, conspiracy theories, EMFs, all this stuff. Not even conspiracy theories, but it gets grouped into that. But anyway, Clint Ober, very expensive. Put your bloody bare feet on the planet as much as you can. So we've tried to adjust to that as much as we can. So we've got an earthing sheet on our bed, so it gives me 8 hours of grounding. I've got an earthing sheet here, so that's, I'm probably here 8 hours there. So now I'm grounded around 16 hours out of my 24 hours day. And then if I can touch the ground and all these other things, it's really important as well to do that. And what he's saying is when you're grounded and we reduce that energy, we are reducing the ability to get inflammation. And what Clint was saying was he believes like a lot of disease, cancers, different things are connected to high levels of inflammation, the body literally being inflamed, flames in the body, all these problems. And so one of the best ways to reduce inflammation is to not touch things that are being charged, or plugged in and to touch the planet more. There was some work in there about breathing as well. I interviewed him about a year ago now, but he's saying something along the lines of, I think, heart rate variability. I've got a couple of HRV friends coming on soon and talk about heart rate variability, the gaps between the heart. So we'll talk about that in a future episode. But he was also talking about the respiratory rate and how when people went onto the earth, it went up slightly and then it would calm down. And then when they came off the earth again and got disconnected, it would go up again and then I think come down. I think the hypothesis there is our body's getting into a state of recovery and needs to take a few more breaths, but then eventually calms because we're touching the planet again. And there's, again, I'm not an electrical guy, you're probably guessing from this conversation, but there's something about like the way that the oxygen's charged in our body and there's a way to make that more attractive. So a good podcast, again, worth checking out. But it convinced me, do you know what? It's not that expensive to A, take off your shoes and touch the ground. Get a bed sheet, get a sheet for your desk. You can get earthing clips for your shoes. So it's one of these things I'm always thinking when it comes to health and wellness. What can we do that is inexpensive and more importantly, passive? Because I don't think about, oh, I've got to get grounded tonight. I just go to bed. And so it's those sort of things that make a big difference. You know, like the glasses, you know, the light blocking glasses, you know, I just have them near the bed. It's dead easy. So when the sun goes down, I can pop these on. The red light filter on my phone comes on automatically. I don't have to think about it. It's just those sort of things. So that leads me on to the last thing for today's talking out my airway, which is my morning routine. So my morning routine's constantly changing, but I wanted to share my morning routine with you because I'm really enjoying this current one. So first thing, grounded bed sheet you've just heard about. Wake up, do some vivation for a couple of minutes. Doesn't need to be much. Process what's happened the night before. Go through the vivation process. Sets me up. Next thing, glass of salty water, Celtic salt. Got this from Tim Gray, the UK's top biohacker. Celtic salt, not a metal spoon because that's doing something to disrupt the electrolytes. So I use a wooden spoon. Stir the salt, little pinch, drink that. Then get the baby, get the dog. Get outside, get daylight, go for about an hour's walk, podcast in, do some nice nasal breaths. I normally do some breath holds in between lampposts because I'm a weirdo and I like to keep improving my carbon dioxide tolerance. So I do that. Then I come home, still fasted, by the way, at this point. Then pass the baby on, he has breakfast, dog comes with me into the garage, and then we do a workout. So I'm trying to do a workout 5-6 times a week. Got very inexpensive gym in the garage, just a few weights and a few bits and bobs. So I'll do a workout. Nasally, I'll make sure that I use the rebounder. I've got a very cheap rebounder off Facebook, and so I rebound for like a minute or two. I've got a very specific stretch routine that I do for my rib cage and my diaphragm, so I go through that in the garage. I always do at least 2 minutes of hangs. Peter Attia, longevity expert, I think says a man should do around 2.5 minutes of hanging comfortably, good for grip strength. So I'll go through, do the hangs. I'm doing some planks for the core, and then I'll go through the routine. Then the weights routine. Then come on, and I feel like I'm done at that point. I'll crack on, and that's pretty much the morning routine. So it takes all in all about an hour and a half, and that's, you know, again, it's having a kid, because I've seen Chris Williamson put his morning routine out there, and I think he got a lot of comments saying, yeah, but I bet, you know, you can't do that with a kid. So me and my partner, we're really trying to. What was the thing I heard? It was really good. It was make your kids your reason, not your excuse. And I was definitely making them the excuse for the first sort of 6 months. I can't do this, can't do that, can't work, I haven't got time for this. And so we've really had to work on what that looks like. So really trying to make my kid my reason to go and do all these nasal things and routines. So that routine will keep changing. I'd love to hear yours. I think it's really important to have something. I'll keep building on it. I'll occasionally do some coherence in the morning, but I do my coherence normally before bed. So that's the 5.5 breaths in, 5 breaths out, 20 minutes of that. As Tom Granger always says, reverses the age-related decline of your heart. I think he got that from Dr. Alan Watkins. Improves your heart rate variability. So bedtime routine, we can talk about that in a future one, but I hope you found that useful. I feel like I've just rabbited on. I've been wanting to do one of these for a long time. I think I'll get more into it. We're going to do one for the 200,000. We'll do one when we get to 100 podcasts. We're at 83 or 84 at the minute as well, and so make sure you feed your questions in. And I just want to say thank you. You know, you're got me in your ear, or you're watching me on YouTube. It's always very surreal to me, especially as you get to this number. I can't even understand 200,000 people hitting the subscribe button. It's very, very hard to get your head around that. And it's been a wild journey. And I love finding out information. And I literally, when I'm interviewing somebody, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for the audience to hear this, because that's fucking awesome. When you get some nugget of something that you've never heard before, like the diabetes one, just blew my mind. I was like, I can't wait for you to hear this. So I'll keep doing that. I hope some of you are intrigued about Vivation. Just the last bit I'll say on this is I started with Wim Hof. I had some very spiritual experiences. I cried my heart out. I bonded with a load of... I was hugging men after 2 days that I didn't know and crying with them. And it was like, what the hell is going on here? And then something happened where I jumped left brain and I become very, very scientific with it all. And I wanted to know 9 layers deep, what's going on? How does the hemoglobin release the oxygen when there's low presence of carbon dioxide? And why is that affinity stronger? And what's going on there? And how can we make that better? And what's the problems if we don't? And I got really deep into all the science stuff. I think it's through imposter syndrome, to be completely honest with you. And I love learning these different breathing techniques, but I almost feel like I've jumped into the other area now. The conscious connected breath, the spiritual, the body, so not necessarily the mind, helping people release or process, I should say, you shouldn't say release, process, integrate some trauma, integrate issues with addictions, integrate sadness, grief, the science of happiness. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing for Vivation. And I'm just at the start of it now, and I'm obsessed with it. So there's more to come. If you've liked this and you'd like me to talk about other podcasts, I've got so many. So look at this as kind of trial version one. Next week we're back with a guest again, but I think I'll probably do one of these at least once a month, because it's just a way to break some stuff down. I'll break it down a bit more, I think, next time as well. But for now, thank you so much for watching. The big secret, the big reveal, is this is a breathing channel, right? And I'm part of the Breath Source, which is a beautiful breath app. If you've not got that, you should get that. You can get on there for free. The link is going to be down below as well. And I was saying, I was saying to the one of the CEOs at the time, I was like, shouldn't we start every meeting with a breathing exercise? Because we're all breath masters on this. We're all breath instructors. And so that's become policy now, was whenever we meet, there's a breathing exercise at the start. And so I was like, hang on a second, got a breathing podcast. We're hardly ever doing breath work on podcasts. So here's the cool thing. Every take a deep breath cast going forward now is always going to have a different breathing exercise at the back end. So not only do you get to listen to some stuff about breath and wellness, but then if you go to the very end of it, there's going to be a 10 or 15 minute breathing exercise. And today's going to be the start of that. So I'm going to pop something in now after this. So sit back, relax, enjoy the breathing. Thank you for being with me. We've got a lot coming next year. There's a lot more stuff happening behind the scenes. Bringing more people on now to help do different things. Really going out there to get big guests. And so I can't wait to take you on that. But until then, breathe well, my friend, and enjoy this breathing exercise. Thank you so much. Cheers. Welcome to Take a Deep Breath, your number one place for breathing exercises to help you heal, relax, and feel more you. Today's breathing exercise is 2-1 breath work, a very simple guided breathing exercise to help you calm down your nervous system, which will help you relax, reduce anxiety, and feel lower levels of stress. You can use the timestamps of this video to jump right into the exercise, or simply stay where you are and I will guide you through the exercise instructions and a relaxation process. This way, you'll get maximum benefit of the exercise. 2-1 breathing is an incredibly simple breathing exercise where we'll use the breath in through the nose and then breathe out through the mouth with pursed lips, like we're blowing out a candle. The pursed lips allow some resistance, which means we can control the length of the exhale. The exercise is 4 seconds in through your nose, with a slight pause, and then 8 seconds out through the mouth with pursed lips, like you're blowing out a candle. It's important to note with breathing exercises like this, it's always important to use the diaphragm. So as we're breathing in, we want to breathe deep into the belly, not into the chest. By breathing in slowly through the nose and then breathing out, extending that exhale, our bodies will move more into a parasympathetic nervous system, or what's also known as rest and digest, which is the opposite of fight or flight. This exercise is perfect for anyone wanting to relax, unwind, reduce stress, or simply practice a very simple form of mindfulness meditation. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button, like, share, and leave us a comment, because these things help grow our community and spread our message, which means more people get to discover breathwork and heal themselves. We recommend, with an exercise like this, take our 21-day challenge and practice this exercise daily for best results. Okay, let's start by checking in with our body. So first of all, sit comfortably or lie down and relax, and start to become aware of your breathing pattern. Pay attention to your mood and how your body feels. I'd like you to take a deep breath in through your nose, hold, and then gently out through your nose. Just continue gently breathing in through your nose with a slight pause, and then breathing out through your nose as I guide you through the next steps of this relaxation process. We have this incredible gift as humans where we can consciously choose our own breathing patterns. It's a bit of a superpower because our breathing affects how we think and feel. We can change how we think and feel with our breathwork patterns. Let's start now checking in with our body. So start at the top of the head. Many people don't realize we carry tension in our forehead. So let's start to begin to relax the forehead. No frowning. Nice relaxed features. Relax the muscles behind the eyes. Relax those cheekbones. Remove any tension from your jaw. Relax and drop those shoulders. And just continue to scan down from head to toe. Not getting stuck in any one place. Just simply observing and relaxing the muscles where you can. Flow down through the arms to the fingers, down through the body, into the legs and into the toes. Just checking in, relaxing the muscles and preparing yourself for the exercise ahead. Repeat this exercise as long as you want, and you can adjust the settings in the video speed if you want it faster or slower. Okay, let's begin. Thanks for watching Take a Deep Breath. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe, like and share. And please feel free to check out some of our other videos on this channel. We have over 100 videos now, different breathing exercises, and we have Breathcast, which is our dedicated breathwork podcast, where we get to interview some of the world's leading experts when it comes to breathwork, health, well-being, transformation. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next video.